Happy Thursday, everybody. 14 games on the schedule yesterday. Let's talk about it. We've got buy or sell from me, your faithful host, and from the listeners, our faithful listeners. So, going to be a good show today. Talk about some standouts, some guys that you might want to drop, or maybe you think they're buy lows. I will ask Heath and Scott. And prospects. We are going to talk about prospects today. People are buzzing about Alex Reyes and Dustin Fowler. All right, Heath and Scott, hello. First to Heath Cummings. Hello to you, sir.
Hi, Adam. What a great night last night. Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, so the bandwagon fan, Heath Cummings, is a Celtics fan. You should know. You should know this.
What, how am I a bandwagon fan? I've been a fan of the same team for 33 years.
Because they were good.
I mean, it started because you were a bandwagon fan.
Yeah, right? It started because I was a fan of basketball in the Midwest with no team within 8 hours of me.
It is kind of crazy Missouri doesn't have a team, right? Right?
Yeah. Oh, very, very.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, anyway, enough of that. Scott, hello to you. Let's get on with the show.
Sure.
Buy or sell, Gerrit Cole is the number one starting pitcher. He is currently number one, but buy or sell that he, you know, will continue to be the number one starting pitcher in fantasy baseball. Gerrit Cole.
I don't know what upside there is to moving him ahead of Scherzer especially, but I would say Kluber and Sale as well, just because, like, you have no reason for skepticism with those three. But, like, I could see him being number one. For the most part, I buy what he's doing. The changes he's made to his arsenal and just the way the Astros have mined the data to get the most out of him, like they have so many others. I think he's really this good, but, like, why would I move him ahead of Scherzer when there's no reason to doubt Scherzer, you know?
What's the name of this game, Adam?
Buy or sell.
Oh, okay.
So I sell.
Heath, you sell?
Yeah, I will sell. I have Gerrit Cole fourth in my starting pitcher rankings. I could not put him ahead of Scherzer for sure. I could possibly get him ahead of Sale and Kluber.
Buy or sell, number two. Buy or sell, Heath, Michael Franco is breaking out.
Listen, anytime Michael Franco or Nomar Mazara does anything good at all, I'm going to buy it. So, yeah, I believe that Michael Franco may finally be living up to what it has looked like for a long time he could be.
Yeah. Scott, buy or sell, Michael Franco's breaking out.
So I don't see any underlying changes to suggest he is. The one change to his batted ball profile is he's pulling the ball more. You know, he's always been a guy with theoretical power who makes a lot of contact but doesn't hit the ball especially hard.
And he stopped popping out a lot more.
Has that happened? That would help.
His pop-out rate over the first 4 years of his career, north of 15%, which is just sky high. He's at 8.3% this year. Cut it in half.
That's good.
Well, that would help, but I'm still skeptical. I mean, he's had hot stretches like this in the past, and he's been a disappointment for several years. So I sell.
Franco or Beltre?
I will take Beltre.
Yeah, I'll still take Beltre.
I don't know if we did this yesterday, but Franco or Seager?
I would take Seager.
Okay, buy or sell, Nomar Mazara is a top 30 outfielder.
Buy it. It's just so rare for a player to be as good as he was, and it wasn't great in fantasy, but as good as he was, as young as he was. He's hitting lefties. He's hitting for more power. There's no reason not to buy it.
So we found the one Mazara believer of Chris, Heath, and I, because I'm a skeptic. I know he's young and has a lot of theoretical upside, but it doesn't make sense that he would be having this kind of power breakout with a fly ball percentage of 25. Like that's everything we've complained about Yelich and Hosmer over the years, except the difference for those two is they're good hitters apart from the home runs. They get on base a lot. They project to hit for a high average. Mazara doesn't. Like, he needs to be a big home run hitter to be a fantasy standout. Now, 30 isn't a particularly high threshold, top 30 outfielder, so maybe he could be that. But I don't see this. I'm skeptical that the huge breakout season is happening.
I don't think he's going to maintain a 38% home run to fly ball ratio. I would agree with that. But he doesn't have to.
I think he does. What else does he do well?
To be a top 30 outfielder? If he has a 40% hard contact rate.
If he stays healthy, there's a good chance he's a top 30 outfielder, yes. Because that's true for most full-timers.
Well, it hasn't been true for Nomar Mazara, but he's already halfway to his home run total from previous seasons. He has 10 home runs. Mazara hit two more yesterday. Heath is more willing to buy it. I'm just going to pull up the rankings now. I'm going to stall while I get the rankings up and take a look at guys who are at, you know, about 30th overall. And we're talking Michael Conforto, Ryan Braun, Yoenis Cespedes, Nick Castellanos, guys like that. Do you think that Nomar Mazara is in that group with Castellanos and Cespedes and Braun, etc.?
Yes.
Certainly Conforto. How is Conforto that high?
Heath has Conforto.
Oh, you're looking at our rankings as opposed to actual production.
Yeah, I'm rankings. Okay. Rankings, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Look at Conforto, I have a good ways back from those others, personally.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I would put Mazara in the same class as him.
Oh, well, you have Mazara top 40. Heath has Mazara right around 30th overall. I do wonder, though. I mean, I want to say maybe he's a sell high, but I don't know that's true because I'm not sure who is buying it right now. And I don't know what you...
Oh, I think a lot of people would. He's been a buzzable player since he broke through. And so I think the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, hey, he's breaking out. But I don't know. Looking at the supporting numbers, I'm skeptical.
Would you sell Mazara straight up for Gregory Polanco?
Yes.
Heath?
Ooh, I don't know. That's really close.
Ooh, I got one. Would you sell him straight up for Yu Darvish?
Oh, yeah.
I probably would, but I could not be more worried about Yu Darvish.
I might be offered in a 13-team roto league in which I need hitting. I might be offered Ian Kinsler and Michael Brantley for Yu Darvish. And I hate myself for considering it, but I think that it's not that bad of a trade.
What is it?
Kinsler and Brantley for Yu Darvish. Because I also am quite worried about Yu Darvish.
Why would you not make that trade?
I would be Kinsler.
What are you guys worried about?
I would be getting Kinsler and Brantley, Scott. Not getting Darvish.
Oh, no.
It's bad, right?
Why are you so worried about Darvish, first of all? Other than the fact that obviously he's off to
I'm worried about what Jim Bowden said about him on CBS Sports HQ. By the way, you should watch that on your Roku. That his elbow is... That his arm slot has changed and it might be a result of a shoulder injury. However,
he might be right, but he's not a pitching coach. He's not a doctor. It is just one man's opinion.
He's not even near
to Darvish. So
it's not just that though. I mean, his swinging strike rate is way down from any point it's been in his career. His K per nine looks okay, but the K percentage is also way down, and it was trending down last year, and he's walking too many people at the same time. It's a really bad combination.
Yeah, and Scott, just to finish on the Bowden thing, I also feel like if it's not, and he didn't say it's a shoulder injury, he said it might be, they have to look into it. If it isn't, then that probably means that this is just a mechanical thing for Darvish, and if he can get that right, you know, I'm not gonna do that trade.
Seeing as he has a history of mechanical issues, both like, each of the last 2 years, he had some really rough stretches. And then it was like, oh, he tweaked his mechanics. And look, he's dominant again. Like, I feel like that's the way it's going to play out for Darvish this year.
Okay. I think I've convinced myself and you have convinced me. I will not accept that trade of Brantley and Kinsler. Brantley, though, I mean, like, Brantley's playing really well. All right, moving on. Two more buy or sells from me. Then we'll get into the news and notes and the standouts. Carlos Carrasco with a complete game, 14 strikeouts. Do you need to add Jaime Barria? Tyler Clippard got a save. We will, of course, talk about that. 17% owned. All four of those save candidates pitched yesterday for the Blue Jays, and Clippard was the one who got the save. Corey Knebel pitched the seventh. So, yeah, we'll discuss it all. Buy or sell, Nick Markakis is a top 30 outfielder. Currently, he's sixth in points and 10th in roto. He homered again. Markakis is batting .338. Scott White, Nick Markakis, top 30 outfielder, buy or sell?
I mean, I think it's feasible in a points league. I actually wrote about Nick Markakis on Tuesday, and I feel like we've always viewed him as a high floor guy, but low ceiling guy. And that's, you know, that's still true, but I feel like that's the sort of guy that plays up in a deep lineup. You know, he makes a lot of contact. He gets on base. If he can get back to being a 90 RBI, 90 run scored guy like he was early in his career with the Orioles, And he can maintain a fly ball rate that makes him capable of 15 home runs, 15 plus home runs, then I don't see why he couldn't be that. Like, he's performing over his head so far. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think it's crazy to think he could be a fixture in your lineup all year. Like, he could be that decent. And, like, I would take Nomar Mazara over him. So I understand I'm putting a positive spin on Mark Akis and a negative spin on Mazara. But the thing is, we have much higher expectations for Mazara coming in.
It's as simple as I think there's a pretty good chance that Mark Akis finishes as a top 30 outfielder in a points league if he plays 150 games because of this start. I do not expect he'll be a top 30 outfielder for the rest of the year, especially in Roto. And you look at like the batted ball profile for him, his fly ball rate is 33.9%. His career fly ball rate is 33.4%.
Yeah. The years it's been closer to 35, though, are the years he would hit, you know, around 15 home runs as opposed to the 8 he hit last year.
The only thing that's really changed is his home run to fly ball rate is double what it is for his career. It hasn't been over 10% since he played for the Orioles in 2012. I don't buy the increased power at all. I think he could hit close to 300, sure, but this is not going to last.
Okay, and you, by the way, Heath, you have Nick Markakis 94th in your rankings.
I should probably move him up a little bit.
Yeah,
he's another one of those guys that I don't buy it, so I haven't moved him up, but I'll move him up a little bit. In Roto, yuck.
All right. Buy or sell, Mitch Moreland is mixed league viable. And last five games, he has 4 home runs. He's 11 for 21. Mitch Moreland, he has mixed league value. Heath, buy or sell?
Not in a standard 12-team mixed league. I don't see it, no.
All
sell.
Right. Last one.
Where's he going to play?
They play J.D. Martinez sometimes in the outfield. Like, Jackie Bradley might just be done. So that's a...
Moreland has started half of the Red Sox games this year, so that's your answer right there.
Yeah, but I think they might be fed up with Jackie Bradley's bat. Might be. So that's the scenario. That's the scenario in which Moreland plays.
Right, I moved Nick Markakis up to 50th in points. Okay. Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm very happy. Buy or sell.
44th, so we're not really that far off.
Buy or sell, David Dahl will become a must-start outfielder.
I still buy that'll happen eventually. I'm not anywhere close to putting him in my lineup, but they have 3 hitters in there who are just weighing the whole thing down. And when it becomes time for them to turn the page on those 3 completely, and I'm referring to Desmond, Parra, and Carlos Gonzalez, they don't even need to do it on all 3, just one of them, then I think we'll see Dahl shine.
He's been really fortunate to start the year. I'm not sure that he's doing anything that should earn him more playing time at this point. I mean, he's got a 304 average, but that's entirely BABIP. He's striking out 35% of the time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sell it.
Weird thing about Dahl is that he's been terrible against righties. He has 1 walk and 28 strikeouts in 79 at-bats against righties. Against lefties, he's batting .261 with 3 homers and 46 at-bats. And he's sat against 3 straight left-handed starters.
He is not a big walk guy. That is one.
You know what? I gotta stop doing this because I think that's...
Yeah, those numbers are not correct.
Yeah, they're not right.
He only has 49 plate appearances
in
a year.
That's why it didn't make any sense to me. All right, so I will stop looking at the splits that I had been looking at. I think that is a caching issue. Okay, no. All right, ready for the real stats?
Yeah. Yes.
David Dahl is 1 for 16 against lefties, and he is actually
with
doing
10 strikeouts
quite well against righties. .433 batting average against righties. I apologize for that. So. At least we got that sorted squared away. All right, injuries, news, and notes. The Mets batted out of order. Oops. Clayton Kershaw threw from 60 feet. That's a good sign. David Price has carpal tunnel syndrome. Is David Price droppable, in your opinion? He might make his next start, and he also plays a lot of Fortnite, which could be blamed for the carpal tunnel syndrome, in all seriousness.
Yep.
That's kind of funny. do you think David Price is droppable or no?
Like,
no.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be dropping David Price if I owned him. I could see it in like a 10-team league where everybody streams the crap out of pitchers, that he would get mixed up in that streaming cycle. But anything standard size or deeper, no.
But the more pressing question, have either of you ever gotten carpal tunnel or some sort of hand pain that lasted to the next day from playing video games?
Never. You?
Yeah, I haven't either.
Oh,
and I used
times.
To play
multiple
a lot.
Times.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty. Like, what game?
I've gotten it just from my phone before.
Really? Yeah. No. I maybe.
Embarrassing.
It's pretty. It's pretty dorky.
But definitely Bond.
Oh, like the GoldenEye on N64.
Yeah.
The best.
I used to get blisters from those games that would have you like you'd have to cycle between the buttons.
Okay,
really
a blister counts, Scott.
To make a meter go up, you know, like the you basically like rub the, like on the Sega Genesis, you'd rub the three A, B, and C buttons.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Super high impact.
The original Nintendo controller. The original Nintendo controllers definitely could cause blisters. What was GoldenEye on? Was that Nintendo 64?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, best game ever. Some players who are heating up. Chris Bryant, 4 homers in his last 7 games, now 6 on the season, and 100, I believe, for his career. Chris Davis has homered in 2 straight games, Chris with a C. Still, you know, I think it was, there's only 2 hits, but we know Chris Davis has the tendency to streak. Ender Inciarte stole 2 more bases. He has 10 now on the year. Delino DeShields is 63% owned. So that might be kind of a CBS thing because we have points leagues more so than the other sites, and I know he's got to be. Delino
Who
Shields,
cares?
I know. That's what I'm going to say. He's since coming off the DL, DeShields is 14th in points and 10th in roto at outfield in fantasy. 63% owned. Pretty under-owned.
I will say if Delino DeShields and Nick Markakis play the same number of games for the rest of the year, Delino DeShields will score more fantasy points.
Adam.
Yes.
Inciarte, you said he has 10 steals. He has 15 steals.
What?
Yeah, he's 15 for 17.
Nuh-uh. What the hell is it?
We need a new segment just called Fake News with Adam.
I can't believe this.
I mean, it makes a big difference. He's been
it's 50,
the
50%.
Best stolen base guy in the majors.
What the hell?
He leads the majors in stolen bases. He is 7 away from his career high.
I'm going to... Heads are going to roll here. All right, I'm sorry about that. So this is an embarrassing day for me.
I'm not enjoying it at all.
I'm wondering if there's any other like embarrassing stories I could tell now to just humiliate myself more. There's one that comes
I wonder
mind.
If there's any incorrect stats here that I'm not going to catch.
I don't.
Where did you get your information, sir?
I don't think there are any other incorrect stats. Like Mitch Moreland has homered in 4 of his last 5 games, right?
Seems unlikely. Yes, that's what I have in my notes, so I will agree with that.
Okay.
I will agree with your facts.
Gerrit Cole is the number one starting pitcher in fantasy, right? Wellington Castillo has gone 4 for 8 in his last 2 games with 2 home runs and a double, so he's heating up. Mike Trout somehow did not homer in his 2 games at Coors Field. That series is over. That sucks. Yasiel Puig is back. Adam Eaton is getting a second opinion, so I don't even know if he's going to be back before Johnny Cueto, which is pretty pathetic. Odubel Herrera has reached base safely in 38 straight games. That is true. Wade Miley is on the DL. Why don't we play true or false? I'm going to give a note, and you tell me if it's true or false. Wade Miley's on the DL.
True.
Darren O'Day is on the DL with a hyperextended elbow.
Ah, well, that would explain why
Brad Brock
got the save.
Yep. Well, now I'm not sure that Darren O'Day is actually on the DL, if you didn't know that.
I'm not sure. Well, you know.
Yeah, he is. He's
I'm
on
not
the
sure
DL.
Either.
Brad Brock is 30% owned and got the save yesterday, and O'Day is on the DL. Greg Bird will begin a rehab assignment today. Trevor Cahill's on the DL with an elbow impingement. That's a bummer.
They say it's just basically sore, and he'll be back after the minimum 10 days. So if you are excited to add Cahill, I don't know that you need to drop him.
Okay. Mark Melanson could start a rehab assignment soon. Do you think that we should stash Melanson, or do you think Strickland keeps the job?
I would stash Melanson in leagues where saves are scarce, but I also want to rule out Strickland keeping the job. He's been good.
Yeah, I actually have a team where we have 5 DL spots. It's a roto league where I've been stashing Melanson since the beginning of the year, and it's getting really tight because I think I have 7 players on the DL now. Hmm. I'm going to try to hold on to him for a little while longer.
Okay. Before we move on, I would like to ask you listeners a question. Are you hiring, or do you plan on hiring sometime in the near future? Are you tired of waiting and waiting and waiting for the right people to find your jobs? Well, we've got the answers for you. ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike and try it for free. And I've told you about ZipRecruiter. This is an amazing job site where 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. You don't have to wait long. 80% get a quality candidate through one day. ZipRecruiter goes out and finds the right people for you and spotlights the strongest applications you receive. So that means you'll never miss a great match if you use ZipRecruiter. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Now, are you a big business, medium-sized, small business? It does not matter. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. I don't know when you're going to need a hire. You may not know, but when you do, when the time is right, you want an efficient way to do this. You don't want to be sorting through resumes. So this is ZipRecruiter.com/strike. You can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strike. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/strike. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. Wednesday's standouts. This guy actually didn't play Wednesday, but I promised we'd talk about him. So let's talk about Eddie Rosario. He didn't make an out yesterday. That was good. He did have a big day on Tuesday and basically every other day recently. Eddie Rosario is number 14 in points, number 11 in Roto in outfield rankings or standings. Rosario is batting .291 with 7 home runs. He has been great at home, which is not dissimilar from what he did last year. Is Eddie Rosario just hot right now, Heath, or is Eddie Rosario breaking out, legit must-start outfielder?
I'm caught somewhere in between because he was really good last year as well. So I don't think this is all just a hot streak, but I think a lot of it is just a hot streak.
Last year, Rosario was 28th in points, 21 in Roto. And most of his production, 16 home runs in the final 2 months of the season. So he had a great second half. Scott, what do you think? Is Eddie Rosario legit? Or, you know, just good but not great?
I think he's legit. I think that was a breakthrough midway through last year that we saw. And he's, you know, kind of sluggish out of the gate this year, but has basically gotten back to doing that. Most of the batted ball data looks the same as what he was doing last year with the exception of he's hitting even more fly balls. So there may be some power growth there. I hate that he doesn't walk much. You know I like my walks, but he doesn't strike out much either. And it just seems like the quality of contact he makes is good enough to carry him.
Would you rather have Eddie Rosario or Christian Yelich?
Oh, Yelich.
Yelich, yeah.
Okay. Eddie Rosario or Conforto?
I'll take Rosario there.
See, I think I'd still want Conforto's upside.
Oh, okay. So let's get into the standouts. Scott White, give me a standout from Wednesday.
A standout from Wednesday. So just somebody who's popping out of my notes here, kind of randomly, is Zach Cozart. I doubt you had him in the notes, so let's talk about him a little.
Yeah, he batted leadoff yesterday.
And he hit his 5th home run. He's on pace for 23. He's also on pace for 41 doubles, and he's doing it with the 260 BABIP. So I feel like the things we are most concerned about, Cozart continuing from last year, he's shown he's going to continue, and any slowness there to his start is mostly BABIP related. I think particularly if you need shortstop help, he's somebody you could be buying low on right now.
Question, though, on Cozart.
Sure.
He's basically a 250 hitter almost every year of his career except for last season with the Reds. And I'll try to look up some accurate splits this time. I feel like most of his batting average was at home last year. So that was my concern.
That's true. He
would go back to being a 250 hitter, moving away from Cincinnati and going to Los Angeles of Anaheim of California of the United States of Earth.
I mean, maybe he had a 312 BABIP last year. And he, you know what, to be fair, he has been a low BABIP guy, but this is exceptionally low. And I would say the fact that he's hitting the ball harder than ever, I would not expect this to be one of his low years in terms of BABIP.
All right. Heath, how about a standout from Wednesday?
I think we have to talk about Jaime Barria.
We do.
Like, I know the Rockies don't have a very good lineup, but to go into Coors and hold the Rockies scoreless for 5 1/3 innings, got his most swinging strikes that he's had in a start yet with 14, translated to 7 strikeouts. He's made 4 starts now, and 3 of them have been very good starts. I don't expect he's going to be a high strikeout guy, but I do expect pretty good control. That's so I think he needs to at least move into the top, top 80 starting pitchers, maybe 75.
Jaime Barria. So he's 5% owned, and he's got maybe one start or two next week. You know, you never know with the Angels rotation, but if he has one start, it's against Houston. If he has two starts, it's against Houston and Tampa Bay. Now, granted, as Heath mentioned, 5 1/3 scoreless innings at Colorado, pretty damn good yesterday. Only 13 strikeouts and 18 1/3. You're not saying must add everywhere, but Barria, top 80 pitcher, so might be under.
He deserves 5%. To be more owned than 5%.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Like, it would be hard for him to break into that group of pitchers. I've had trouble rostering all of them, like Domingo Germán and Fernando Romero, but. Yeah, I'm fine with it being outside that group, closer to like the, I guess the Marco Estrada range of my rankings.
Would you drop a guy who's 76% owned for a guy who's 5% owned? Would you drop Trevor Williams for Jaime Barria?
I think that's 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, because They're both going to be like 7K per 9 guys, probably with good enough supporting stats to be useful.
Okay. Well, somebody has to say Carlos Carrasco as a standout, right? Carlos Carrasco, complete game. 7 1/3 innings, 33 hits, 0 runs, and 28 strikeouts. Did I get those numbers right? Okay, no. It's LOL. This is a joke. 9 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 14 strikeouts at Milwaukee, 23 swinging strikes. This has been such a Carlos Carrasco season. Like... For some reason, awful starts. His last two, he gave up 10 earned runs at 8 1/3, and then follows it up with a complete game with 14 Ks and 23 swinging strikes. Anything to say about Carlos Carrasco?
He's awesome and a top 10 starting pitcher.
Yep. I have nothing but good things to say about him.
I bet I could name 10 pitchers I'd rather have.
How many?
10.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not in my top 10 either. He's in my top 15, though.
The three that Heath has behind Carrasco, immediately behind, are Strasburg, Syndergaard, and Severino. And then Carlos Martinez, and then DeGrom.
Carrasco over Severino.
And DeGrom. They're both interesting, Heath.
Well, I mean, DeGrom, if you wanted to be extra cautious with the injury, I could understand that. But Chris and I on Tuesday were talking about how Severino might be someone we trade Kershaw for. So that's, you know, sounds like Heath's a little lower on him.
Yeah, I hate him. He's only 10th in my starting pitcher rankings.
He's 11th in points.
10th in Roto. And so I do have Strasburg and Syndergaard ahead of Carrasco and Roto. I have him 9th and Severino 10th.
Okay. All right. Well, problem solved. We will take a look at the bullpen in just a second. But you out there, you listen to this podcast, hopefully every day. That means you love fantasy baseball. You can't get enough of fantasy baseball. That's why we've got the draft app for you. And you probably love to draft, right? I mean, we all love to draft. That's why we play fantasy, so we can do snake drafts with other people and compete against them and see how good we are. You can do that every single day on the draft app. So download the draft app. It's easy to find. Just search for it in your app store. Search draft. Or you can go to draft.com. And when you sign up, when you make your first deposit, use the promo code FBtoday. FB today is the promo code. You'll get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. You'll also automatically be following me and be able to compete against me in drafts. And I play drafts all the time. I freaking love it. Of course, I lose all the time, whatever. But I am going to beat you. It's going to happen. I'm going to compete against you, and I'm going to win in draft. I love it. I just love the thrill of doing a draft. Sometimes I'll play just the early slate. Sometimes I'll play the entire day. Sometimes I'll play the night games. A lot of different options. You can also do different sports, by the way, on draft. So keep that in mind. You can do PGA, for example. Get the draft app right now or go to draft.com, and the promo code is FBtoday to get a free entry into a real money game when you use the promo code FBtoday on draft. Bullpen, Tyler Clippard, 17% owned. Do you think he gets the next save? Can I just say that, like, I can't believe Tyler Clippard is having this good of a year. I cannot believe it. He looked completely done last year.
I don't know that you should believe it. For all of those Blue Jays pitchers, the FIP does not come close to the ERA. So, yeah, I don't know that there's a lot of job security here for Clippard, but I don't see why he wouldn't. Like, his FIP is 430. I don't see why he wouldn't get the next save after converting this one.
Okay, Corey Knebel pitched the seventh with the Indians winning 4-0, Brewers trailing. Heath, what'd you make of that? Just get him some action there?
Just get him some action. Just get him acclimated to the role. Maybe pitch him 2 games in a row and then let him go back. I just wonder, like, with all the success they've had with this Josh Hader finishing games off, pitching the eighth and the ninth inning, does that happen just a little bit more often and ding Knebel's value a little bit?
Well, where do you guys have Knebel ranked? Because he was a top 5 closer preseason. What about
Yeah,
now?
He was not a top 5 closer, I don't believe, for me. I think he was closer to 9th or 10th. I had dropped him quite a bit, and I haven't moved him back up since he's returned.
He's 7th for me. He was 4th at the beginning of the year. He's 7th right now.
I've got him 11th, and I could see moving him as high as 8th.
Nate Jones got a save opportunity and blew it. Joaquin Soria pitched the 8th on Tuesday in a loss. They haven't really used one guy in a solidified role, but if you had one guy in the White Sox bullpen, who would it be?
I think it'd still be Soria.
Yep.
All right, Brad Brock did get his first save in nearly a month. O'Day's on the DL. Kenley Jansen, I think we should talk about him just because, like, he's kind of turned it around in terms of run prevention. He has 2 strikeouts in his last 6 appearances. Do you guys think that Kenley Jansen is back?
Yeah.
I don't think he's back, but I think, I mean, the velocity concerns have been pretty much put to bed, so that doesn't seem to be the problem anymore. I've been tempted to drop him lower than 3rd. I still have him, you know, bringing up the rear of that super elite closer trio. But Edwin Diaz is kind of closing in on that group, and I've been tempted to drop Kenley Jansen behind him. For now, though, there's enough signs of progress for me to still consider Kenley Jansen one of the top closers in fantasy.
Heath, Ken Giles, 2 straight days with a save. And he has no walks and 9 strikeouts this year, but 9 strikeouts and 12 1/3. 10 of Giles' last 11 appearances have been scoreless. Of course, there was that one blow-up against the Yankees. Do you think Ken Giles is the closer for the Astros?
I think he is the closest thing the Astros have to a closer, and I expect him to get the most saves. He's still a top 12 closer for me. He's 12th. He doesn't go, and I don't really feel great about him being there.
Okay, I don't think they play today. They don't. I was going to say, wouldn't be shocking if they had a save chance today. He didn't get it because he's pitched 2 straight days, but they don't play today. So let's talk about prospects. Getting a lot of emails about Alex Reyes. A lot of people picking up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Dustin Fowler was called up by the A's. Justice Sheffield for the Yankees is now their top pitching prospect, and he was promoted to AAA. There are others to talk about. Scott, what are you thinking right now about Alex Reyes?
I'm thinking that there's no room in him for the rotation. Like, if they haven't found a spot for Jack Flaherty yet, and they've been floating the idea of potentially using Reyes out of the bullpen, I think that scenario, the bullpen scenario, is ultimately going to be what happens. Now, it's not going to be a forever thing. I don't think he'll get stuck there like Josh Hader seems to have for the foreseeable future. But I do think he's not going to be a particularly useful option right away. Now, as I say that, I'm thinking about how Hader's been getting saves, and I'm thinking the Cardinals have had trouble finding somebody to do that with regularity, especially with Norris dinged up. So maybe that's a way Reyes becomes valuable in fantasy, just as that pitch the final 2 1/3 innings, get a save kind of way. Mm-hmm. But that's so speculative at this point. It would have to be a larger size roster, I think, for me to own him in a redraft league.
Alex Reyes did make a rehab appearance yesterday, and he threw, well, just a minor league appearance. He threw 3 1/3, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, did not give up a run. So that's why people were buzzing about Cardinals pitcher Alex Reyes. What about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? I mean, we talked about him yesterday, and he is, you know, as Chris said, probably now the best hitting prospect, but he's very young. He's 19 years old. Scott, do you think we see Vlad this year? We were kind of not really too excited about picking him up yesterday.
Yeah, This has actually changed for me this week. I, 19-year-old who hadn't played a game above Class A coming into the year, I thought there was no chance when I was doing my off-season prospect prep, but he is just owning Double A, and like he's way too good for the level. He's monster home runs. He's hitting about 400 with great plate discipline. Like, they're, how do they justify keeping him down all season if he continues to do that stuff in the upper minors? I think it's, I don't think they can. I think he looks like the sort of the caliber of prospect that you absolutely see debuting as a teenager. So he is now in the latest prospect report among my top five prospects to stash. I don't know how soon it'll be. It may not be until the second half, but at this point, I'm pretty convinced it's going to happen. And in terms of impact, there's not a minor leaguer who could potentially make as big a one as him.
Vladimir Guerrero, 50% owned now, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and he's third base eligible, and he's only in Double A. But okay, I understand.
I mean,
why
he could come straight from Double A, or with a short layover at Triple A. That's not a big stretch at all.
Or just nonstop Double A to the pros, sure.
Right, exactly.
Okay, Oakland called up Dustin Fowler. Heath, he's 22% owned. He's a lefty, but actually hit lefties pretty well in the minors. The update I read on the site suggested that maybe he would sit against lefties. What do you think about, well, first of all, an email from a man named Scott who said, approve the move, drop Dexter Fowler for Dustin Fowler.
I could see doing that in a roto league where I needed steals. That's what I think probably would be the biggest contribution that Dustin Fowler gives you. As far as sitting against lefties, I think that's always a concern for a young left-handed hitter. You'd like for those guys to come up and have some success. But there is also a school of thought that when you're a team like the A's that's not really playing for anything, why not let him figure out how to hit lefties? So that will ultimately determine how great his value is, because he's going to need to play pretty regularly to help you in steals.
Scott, we've got Justice Sheffield for the Yankees and Sandy Alcantara, or Alcantara, I'm not sure, for the Marlins getting promoted to AAA. Julio Arias is another guy. He's a guy, you know. He could be back in the second half.
It's a bad injury he's coming back from. But he used to be an elite prospect, so something to keep an eye on.
Are there pitching prospects you want to stash right now?
Justice Sheffield would be pretty high on that list. He is one of those prospects who always received a lot of buzz, and I didn't totally get it because the minor league numbers were good, but not relative to the amount of hype he was getting. But that's changed this year. His strikeout rate is 12.4 per nine innings. Still some control issues, but it's looking similar to like a Blake Snell profile to me. And Sheffield probably deserves to be talked about in a similar light. But the best minor league pitchers to stash, and this probably isn't surprising at all, they're both in my top five to stash. The best two are Nick Kingham, who, yes, is technically a minor leaguer now, and in a way we're not completely sure he's going to be coming back when a fifth turn comes up, because Joe Musgrove is going to be back in the mix by then, and Jack Flaherty.
Okay. And Scott mentioned last week Tampa Bay shortstop Willie Adames. That could be a guy to stash. We got an email from Zach, and Zach wants to know about Franmil Reyes. And why is nobody talking about this man? He is a outfielder in the Padres organization. He is destroying everything right now.
He is. He is in this week's prospects report. He had three consecutive two-homer games earlier this week. He had eight home runs in a span of 5 days.
Wow.
He is absolutely destroying atop the minor league leaderboards all over.
What's the combined home run total for Padres outfielders in the minor leagues? They have a ton of guys that just crush baseballs in the minor leagues.
And they have a ton of guys, like Franchy Cordero is a perfect example of this. Like, not high on anyone's prospect radar, really, but just remarkable tools that make you wonder, like, okay, I understand this guy isn't hype, but what's the upside really? And I feel like Franmil Reyes fits into that category. Like, terrible defender, so that's why he gets overlooked. And like, he hadn't been this good of a power hitter until this year, but he's 6'5", mid-200s, like that huge frame where you expect this kind of power. And I could see him becoming somebody who surprises us. I, you know, among prospects to stash, he'd rank pretty low. because I don't see what the opening is for him. And again, there are a lot of reasons to be skeptical of this performance, but at the same time, he deserves to be mentioned.
It's too bad the Padres have like five of them.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I've been pretty happy with Franchy Cordero in a five outfielder roto league. You know, he went 0-for-4 yesterday. He's hands off for me in points because his plate discipline's so bad, but he stole base yesterday, yeah. And that's what he steals and he homers. Okay. Let's move on. We got about 20 minutes left. We got some buy or sell to get to. I do want to talk about Quintana, Alex Wood, Gio Gonzalez. Alex Wood and Gio Gonzalez are very interesting right now because in a quality start league, you know, I don't know what Alex Wood is doing for you. He just never gets to six innings or more than six innings, but not to say that you're dropping him, but he's interesting. Tanaka was Tanaka last night. Porcello was bad. His worst start of the year, I believe. The fringy starting pitchers who pitched yesterday, most of them are garbage, but Nick Pivetta, 56% owned, kind of stands out amongst that group. Ronaldo Lopez had a pretty interesting start yesterday. So a lot of these guys are two-star pitchers next week. Zach Wheeler rebounded yesterday. Let's get to it with an unrelated email real quick. Email of the day number one from TT, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, by the way, is the email address, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. TT says, Hannibal Lecter is the greatest villain of all time. Despite, you know, eating humans, isn't he oddly likable and still terrifying? Short and round in stature and still tucks his white t-shirt in his sweats like Grandpa would. Yet will gut you like a fish with a side of fava beans and a nice Chianti. Good call.
That's a fine nomination. I mean, he wasn't the villain in Silence of the Lambs, right?
No, that was the interesting thing about him. He was not the villain. He helped catch the villain, but he also like killed people at the end.
It's certainly villainous. No doubt about that.
And then he was the villain in like Hannibal.
Yeah, I mean, it gets into sticky terrain of what's a villain, and you know, like the Al Swearengen conversation the other day. But you know, I'm fine with that. I'll allow it.
Yeah, I think it's a good call.
Oh, does Kathy Bates' character from Misery count?
I can't say
that. That's a terrifying villain to me.
I saw it when I was a kid, but you know, he's a lot older than Scott and I are, like a lot older.
All right, so I actually have a top five villain list that I posted on Facebook like a year ago.
All right, go ahead. Real
so
quick.
I can just run
real quick.
Those if you
hey,
want.
Real quick, Scott, who are your top five villains?
So my top villain, Benjamin Linus from Lost, followed by Light Yagami from Death Note, who's actually the protagonist of Death Note, but clearly a villain. Third is Heath Ledger's Joker from The Dark Knight. Fourth, I had the Governor from The Walking Dead. And fifth, I have Amy Dunn from Gone Girl.
Okay, so that's a really bad list, especially the Gone Girl call, which is one of the most overrated movies I've ever seen. It's terrible. But you know what? I can't really comment because I don't know all those villains, and you have Heath Ledger on there. So I trust you. You're a smart man. I will grade that list. I'll just give it a C. Well, I'll give it an incomplete because I really need to do my homework on it. Email today number two is from Scott. Chris Towers said something yesterday that implied Heath can dunk. Can he? If so, I've seriously underestimated him.
No. We had a bet. I lost $100.
Wow.
I think it was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I thought I could dunk again. I have dunked before. I got to the point of dunking a mini basketball and then increased the workout, pulled a groin, and never tried again.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Next segment is called Buy, as in like buy low, or goodbye. So like B-U-I or goodbye. Brett Gardner, 79% owned. Would you buy low or goodbye, get him off my roster? Brett Gardner.
I would buy low in a roto league, I think. I mean, it's hard for him to make that three outfielder cut in a points league. But even there, I think he's going to get better. And I think he's going to be a high on base guy at the top of a great lineup and probably be worth using eventually in all leagues. But, you know, those three outfielder leagues, you probably don't. It may be hard to fit him on your roster just because you need three guys you can use right now.
Yeah,
he's somewhere in the middle for me. I will buy him off the waiver wire if someone else says goodbye. But I'm not going to give up anything for him.
Brett Gardner. Ian Kinsler, 73% owned. Moved down in the order yesterday as Zach Cozart was batting leadoff, as we mentioned. Kinsler batted sixth. Kinsler's batting 191. He does have three steals in 23 games, 9 walks, 10 strikeouts. That's good. But it's happening all over again for Kinsler. Good plate discipline. Terrible results. 73% Ian Kinsler. Heath, buy low or goodbye?
I think this one's goodbye. I think there's a chance that he looked like he was really unlucky last year because of the unreliable readings at the Tiger Stadium, because he had a 37% hard contact rate last year and a 21% line drive rate. His hard contact rate is down to 22% right now. 36 years old in another month and a half. Goodbye.
Michael Conforto, buy low or goodbye? He's 78% owned. Scott.
It's kind of what I said about Brett Gardner. I think better times are ahead, but it would depend on what kind of league you're playing in. Can you afford to stash a bunch of hitters in your bench? And then you just can't in every format. So in the leagues where you can, sure, he's a buy low.
All right, it's Michael Conforto. And again, 78% owned. Batted seventh yesterday. Evan Gattis has barely been playing. He's 71% owned. Heath, buy low or goodbye?
Yeah, I was the Evan Gattis guy. Goodbye.
Really?
Wow. I call him a buy low.
I picked him up in a league yesterday in a 13-team roto league. Actually, you don't even need to start a catcher. Whatever.
Why would you roster a catcher when you don't need to start a catcher?
Because he's still better than like Ben Zobrist, who's one of the better hitters on the waiver wire. Because Evan Gattis 2 years ago started the season, his first 20 games, he batted .203 with one home run in 70 plate appearances. They demoted him. They brought him back up. He had an .869 OPS rest of the season. So if he can, have an 8-something OPS, he's still going to be worth rostering in that league. But
okay, I'll clarify. All of my roto leagues are two catcher leagues. There is no chance I would let him go, and I would certainly buy low. All of my points leagues are one catcher leagues, and I'm scared to death.
Even in a one catcher league, I mean, there's so much garbage starting a catcher, right? Like,
yes.
I mean, if I understand he's not playing a lot right now, and you can't roster a second catcher, so if you just feel like you can't put him in your lineup with the inconsistent playing time, I can understand. But like, if I get a single digit number from my catcher in like a points league, I don't know that that's so unusual that I'd be unwilling to pass up the upside.
All righty. Next up, let's see who we got here. How about Billy Hamilton? 69% owned. He has one steal in a month. In the last month, he has one steal. Billy Hamilton, buy low or goodbye.
Jerk. There's one use for Billy Hamilton. And if you need bulk steals, I still suspect he's going to get them when he starts hitting a little better. So, yeah, buy low in that scenario. Otherwise, don't waste your time.
Heath, Ian Desmond, buy low or goodbye. Ian Desmond, 64% owned.
Whew. I'll put him in the same category that I did with Gardner earlier. I'm not giving up anything to acquire Ian Desmond. I'm not dropping him in a five outfielder league.
Okay. And if somebody dropped him in a five outfielder league, you might pick him up.
I'd pick him up. Yep.
All right. Ian Desmond. Five of his six home runs have come on the road. That's an encouraging sign, I guess. Domingo Santana, 64% owned. Buy low or goodbye, Scott?
Five outfielder, buy low, three outfielder. I don't know that he makes the cut.
Domingo Santana. Jason Kipnis, 48% owned. Heath, buy low or goodbye. One for his last 20.
Yeah, goodbye. Another second baseman that was not good last year. He's not 36 years old almost like Ian Kinsler is, but he's hitting the ball like he is.
Okay, Jason Kipnis. And Scott, Matt Davidson, still top 16 third baseman. Hasn't done all that much since opening day. He has one extra base hit in his last nine games. Matt Davidson, 71% owned. Buy low or a goodbye?
He's not a buy low. But, I mean, the line he has right now seems like it might be close to sustainable. So if you're happy with the overall production, I don't know that you need to sell on him either.
All right, Matt Davidson. So that basically means he's like a corner infield option.
Yeah.
All right. So I do want to get to our listener buy or sell. Let's talk about the rotation real quick and tell me if you have anything interesting to say about these seven or eight pitchers. Jose Quintana, Alex Wood, Gio Gonzalez, Patrick Corbin. How about ranking them? Quintana, Alex Wood, Gio, Corbin.
Corbin, Quintana, Wood, Gio.
Agreed.
Why is Gio so low always on the list? He was top 15 pitcher last year. He's got a 2.22 ERA and 50 strikeouts and 44 and two-thirds. I'm not disagreeing. I just think it's like we there's something that holds us back from loving Gio.
You were complaining about Alex Wood's inability to go six innings just a few minutes ago. Gio's only done it in 3 of 8 starts this year. So it's the same sort of thing. But he has, like, he's a negative on whip, probably, unlike Wood. And, I mean, the 2.22 ERAs put together so far isn't sustainable. I'm not saying he's bad, but he's performed over his head by that measure for sure.
He performed over his head the entire year last year. A lot of people said he can't do that again. So far, he's ridiculously doing it again. We just don't think he's going to keep it up.
So you went 2.22. You went Corbin, Quintana, Wood, Gio? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, they're all in my top 50, I think. At least top 60. So it's not like this is, it's not like any of these guys are duds that you need you know, consider dropping.
And then where would you put Porcello and Tanaka in that group?
I would put Porcello ahead of Gonzalez, so second to last, and I'd put Tanaka right in the middle after between Quintana and Wood.
Porcello is
so okay. I'll just okay. Do you want me to give them all again?
Yeah.
Corbin, Quintana, Tanaka, Wood, Porcello, and Gio.
I'm going to move Gio ahead of Porcello. Other than that, I'll agree.
And I want to be bold and be like, Rick Porcello's number two on this list behind Corbin. I really like Porcello. And this is so weird. I never liked Porcello. But I don't think I'd rank him second there. I think I'd probably take him over Alex Wood. Alex Wood, you know how many times he threw 100 pitches last year? One time.
How many?
One time last year. And he hasn't reached that. And that was exactly 100 pitches. And he hasn't done it yet this year.
I think Porcello's upside is higher than Wood's. But Wood's downside, I feel like, is awfully high. That's the main appeal about him for me, is you can just put him in your lineup and you don't really have to worry about the ERA or whip from him. The fact he has zero wins so far, I think, is a product of just the Dodgers as a whole struggling. But I suspect they'll be in the mix in the long run, and I don't really worry so much about that. But right, Porcello, just by virtue of going seven innings reliably, the upside's higher.
I will say, Adam, that Wood is closer for me to Gio and Porcello than he is to the Corbin, Quintana, Tanaka group.
Okay, Julio Teheran, another very good start. He's five good starts in a row, except for one, which he left with an injury. And I was all set to drop Joey Lucchesi, but he faced the Nationals without Bryce Harper. Did very well, 5 innings, 1 run, 6 strikeouts. Does tend to struggle third time through the order, so I think he started the fifth and then put a couple on, I think. But, you know, I haven't been very accurate today.
Well, he's gone less than 6 innings in 4 straight. And in 2 of those, the best 2, where he went less than 6 innings, he threw fewer than 80 pitches. So clearly, there's a trust thing there with the Padres and letting him pitch deep. And that's going to hold him back. I mean, he's the last of this group for me. I think Teheran's clearly surpassed him at this point. He's at nearly a strikeout per inning. And his swinging strikes are way up. Secondary arsenal's been much better this year. I think we're back to good Teheran. Good, pretty much leave him in your lineup, Teheran.
Okay. Yeah, I've moved Teheran up. I moved him up yesterday, and I'm making a special trip to the rankings tool to move him up today. Interesting debate here, Teheran or Sonny Gray?
It is interesting. I think I'd go Gray.
Yeah, that's my initial inclination, too. I think the most likely scenario for both, based on what we've seen this year, is pretty close. I think Gray's the whiff potential he showed last year puts him ahead, though.
I've already gone Gray. I 34 years old almost. I got a lot of Gray. It's weird.
Fishing like for it. New sponsors.
all right, so the fringy starting pitchers, I think they're pretty uninspiring. You know, but they're available in some of these. Chris Stratton, Nick Pivetta, Trevor Williams, Ronaldo Lopez, Tyler Anderson, Zach Wheeler, Junior Guerra, Liriano. Again, we got Stratton, Pivetta, Trevor Williams, Ronaldo Lopez, Tyler Anderson, Zach Wheeler, Junior Guerra, Francisco Liriano. Heath, if you saw these guys on your waiver wire, who are the two that you'd want to pick up?
You'd have to put Pivetta at the top just because he's flashed enough. And when he's been bad, he's been awful, but he has flashed enough upside in his good starts that he would be at the top for me. And I guess, like, I've moved Ronaldo Lopez down several times recently, but he is still, with his pedigree, he has the most upside of this group. So I'd say Lopez next.
Mr. Anderson would be my second choice.
Oh, Tyler, after Pivetta? Scott?
Yes.
Tyler.
By the way, Hugo Weaving's character, what's his name for The Matrix? He's a pretty good villain. Pretty good.
I'm not all that familiar with The Matrix. I am so stupid that they like sit down and explain what The Matrix is. They're like, this is what The Matrix is. And I do not get that movie at all. all right, so we're going to look at today's matchups here, and then we'll finish with buy or sell from our listeners. Tyler Anderson is at San Diego and at San Francisco next week. So, yeah, that could be nice. That could be nice. Today's matchups, 1 o'clock game, Ty Blach and Vince Velasquez.
I will not start either of them.
Okay. Eduardo Rodriguez at CC Sabathia.
I'll start, actually, neither of them. I kind of like Eduardo Rodriguez, but not with that matchup, not with the way the Yankees are rolling right now.
Yeah, I think I'd start E-Rod.
Not Sabathia, huh? 139 ERA.
No path for me.
Yeah, I'm not starting either of them. Kansas City at the Orioles. Ian Kennedy, Chris Tillman.
I could see streaming Kennedy.
I could see it. I'd lean against it.
Boy, let's see if we can convince ourselves to start six pitchers tonight. Yeah, I'm sure we can. Mike Leake at J-Hap.
Hap, yes.
Are we going to take a leak tonight,
Heath? Ever after.
No, not going to take a leak?
We're both going for the pun.
That's inappropriate.
There. We talked over each other.
You said happily ever after. I said take a leak. All right, so start Hap, sit leak. Mike Foltynewicz at Caleb Smith.
Both cease.
Yeah, okay.
Yuck.
Yuck. Come on.
Yeah.
Nah. Against the Marlins. You can't bring yourself to do that.
I think the clock may strike midnight tonight on Caleb Smith.
All right.
I think he's going to have a good start.
We're not going to start Yelich Chacin or Herman Marquez tonight in Colorado. We are going to start Tanner Roark and Zach Greinke, right?
We are.
Yes.
Yeah, Roark was the question, but yes. Jose Berríos at Garrett Richards.
Start him.
I'll start them both.
Miles Michaelis at Jordan Lyles.
Definitely Michaelis, and that's it.
Yep.
Here's the fun one. Tyler Mahle at Walker Buehler.
I could do both. I'll go for both. Yeah.
All right. So buy or sell. From Eddie, buy or sell Rafael Devers.
Buy.
As a stud, breakout stud this year, I'm to the point where I'm selling that. There are just too many other quality third basemen to be that invested in him. Obviously a lot of upside.
When you just give me the one name and that's it, I am much more interested in buying Rafael Devers right now than I am selling him.
Yeah, okay. Buy or sell, Cody Bellinger hits 30 home runs this season from Ryan.
Easy buy.
Buy.
From Kendall, buy or sell, Adam Eaton is done for the season.
Buy.
I mean, I'll sell it, but it's not crazy.
Shut up, Heath. Sell.
Bone bruises, that has ended seasons before.
Shut up, Scott. Don't talk about Adam Eaton that way.
Okay, sorry.
Bonus. If a hot dog is
sounds like Adam's eating crow.
Yeah. If a hot dog is a sandwich, is a soft shell taco a sandwich?
This is a Chris question.
Yeah,
Chris has like three categories of food, so I'm sure he'd say yes.
Yes.
From Richie, buy or sell, Domingo Herman pitches well enough to secure a rotation spot even when Jordan Montgomery is healthy.
Bye. I will sell. No, he's bought. I sold. What do you know?
From Hunter, buy or sell, Hanley Ramirez is back.
Sell.
Bye.
Buy or sell from Andrew. Zach Godley is a good buy low candidate.
I buy it. I'm not super confident he's going to bounce back. But, like, I was looking at it yesterday. This year is the aberration for him in terms of both walk rate and swinging strike rate on his curveball, which he's still throwing a ton. That was a big key to his success last year. It's just not getting the swings and misses it had throughout the rest of his career. So the things we were most worried about Zach Godley sustaining, he has sustained. And that gives me hope.
Buy or sell from Matt. Mike Clevinger's a top 30 starting pitcher.
Buy.
I sell it, though. He's not missing by much.
I think I even have him ranked top 30 now.
And finally, buy or sell, the Braves are good.
Buy.
Sell.
I knew. Wild card hunt.
I knew I could get you guys to disagree on one more thing. That's Scott and Heath. I'm Adam. Thank you for listening. We'll come back tomorrow, get you ready for week 8. Who knows? I'm sure I'm wrong about everything today. Two-star pitchers and much more. See you later.